You know, a busy weekend of sports and a lot of stuff to consume, and especially with spring training beginning for some at the end of this week, for all next week with pitchers and catchers reporting. So a lot of teams are having like their fan fests. The Royals had their rally at the K. Salvi Perez, by the way, not there. No advertisements involving Salvi Perez. Not at their...
Interesting.
And it begins.
I got 2 years on his contract. Yeah. His defensive skills have deteriorated. He's still Salvi Perez. Not the star of that team anymore. That guy would be playing shortstop. I just thought it was kind of interesting. But a lot of teams had, like the San Diego Padres apparently had a debacle. They were just overwhelmed by people at Petco Park. And why not? I mean, there's a lot of stars to see. But the Dodgers had one as well. This did not even dawn on me because I thought it was a given. Did anybody else realize that Fernando Valenzuela's number 34 is not retired by the Dodgers? For a guy who was one of their best pitchers and was a symbol of the community.
That is surprising.
Yeah, they announced that they're retiring 34. I thought 34 was already retired. Yeah, I mean, it's not like Fernando just retired.
Right, enough time has passed. That's what I was going to say. Enough time has passed where I feel like you probably could have, especially at this time, you always want to make sure that you're, I feel like, when you know it's inevitable, you want to make sure that, all right, I don't mean to be like a jerk, but that you're getting them in like their best state of mind. Like you're able to have that moment where, you know, there's no risk of, you know, life being an issue for them.
Put it to you this way: it's sad that it took this long because, you know, Vince Scully's no longer with us, and I'm sure that would have been great to have him there to kind of sort of officiate that ceremony, and it just would make sense. So the fact that it took this long is.
It's not like he's left the organization.
No.
He's on the Spanish broadcast, and he's still around a lot. I had thought that number 34 was long retired, but good on the Dodgers for finally doing it, and that'll be a great night.
Yeah, he's only 62.
Chavez Ravine.
I thought he was older than that.
He's in, you know what? He's done kind of post the death of Vince Scully because he shared some stories in their interactions.
Mm.
He's pretty. I mean, he's in a good mind.
Yeah,
you know, body and everything. He's
still in the broadcast. I mean, that takes some skills right there too. You know, growing up, there was always about four or five, and I feel like there's still. You know, you got Clayton Kershaw now too. That the unique delivery. When I was growing up, that was one that was people would always like. Oh yeah, I'm Fernando Valenzuela, and they would have like the you know kind of the rock back and you know the look behind. The very unique delivery, like his numbers and everything that he stands for is one thing, but just the delivery, it was unique. That identified him, that associated him, you know, and that's why I always feel like when I think of Fernando Valenzuela, I think of that first and foremost. I just think of, you knew exactly, you could see a highlight and you knew exactly who it was. That's Valenzuela.
The San Antonio Missions used to be a Dodgers AA affiliate forever, and especially when I was a kid. And I remember when Fernando did a rehab start for the Missions, and you couldn't get a ticket. They didn't play in a very big stadium then. It was impossible.
Guy's a 20-year-old rookie in 1981, and Fernando Mania is everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to say, though, at 62 years old, that's surprising that it is just now coming to the year that they'll retire that number.
I don't think it'll take that long when they retire 22 of Kershaw.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
he won't make it in his 50s.
So yesterday in Lincoln, so Nebraska basketball, you know, Tom Chattel wrote a column about, we're all looking for ways to fix Nebraska basketball. and I'll get to it a little bit later because I wonder if people that passionately follow the program believe that the current head coach has all the tools to be successful. Facilities, support, financially, in person, NIL, all of that stuff. Or does it simply come down to sometimes you got to coach? And coaching is not only on the floor, X's and O's, but how you construct your staff, how you construct your roster. So all of that is swirling around as we reach February. And Fred Hoiberg has had moments in his career at Nebraska where February, he will pull off some stunners. Look at what happened last year. The Penn State, Ohio State, Wisconsin stretch where you went, what is happening? Well, now we're into February And Fred's job status is up in the air, depending on who you talk to, by the way. But so they play yesterday, and they're playing Penn State. And Penn State is, I know, a bubble NCAA team, but who knows what to make of the Big Ten? There's a six-way tie for third.
Mm-hmm.
You could have a team that gets a double bye have the same record as somebody that is slated to play on that Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how the league has been
right this
year. So yesterday, Nebraska wins. And they lead from start to finish. And you might want to poo-poo that game. I'm going to tell you. So in the grand scheme of things, Nebraska's not headed to the NCAA tournament unless they have an incredible trip through the Big Ten tournament. Could they get into the NIT? They're going to need a winning record. With the remaining schedule, doesn't seem plausible. Okay, the goal for this team, in my opinion, is to win two more games so that Hoiberg can avoid being the first coach to have four straight seasons of 20 or more losses, which prior to Fred taking over had never happened at Nebraska. Okay, so they've gotten to 11, which is the most that he's ever won since he's been the head coach here. They're 11-13, they're 4-9. There is some significance to yesterday because I think that's their third best win. I think Creighton is their number one win.
Yep.
I think Iowa's their second best win. Mm-hmm. And I think yesterday is a significant win. Again, not in the grand scheme, not send them to the NCAA tournament. That's on Nebraska that they should, in my opinion, every time you get towards Valentine's Day, Nebraska basketball should at least be in a conversation. They might be on the wrong side of the bubble, but they should at least be in some type of conversation. But yesterday they fought, which they've done all year.
Mm-hmm.
They're undermanned. Now they're even more undermanned. But they led the entire game. And for one of the rare times this year with guys that make boneheaded mistakes, like a Wiltshire and a Breidenbach, Fred, I thought, controlled the game with rotations better than he has done all season long. Because when those guys were bad, they were sitting in the same spot I was, watching the game from the sidelines. And I thought yesterday, Hoiberg, in terms of if you don't play well, you're not playing. And if I have to play my kid 20 minutes, who's, by the way, you could tell that he got some good basketball DNA. He's got some limitations, but he doesn't ever make plays where you go, what were you thinking? But I think there was some significance to yesterday. And I think if you're trying to look to, okay, Fred's going to come back for year five. This is what the roster looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Jamarcus Lawrence, last 8 minutes of the game, I thought grew up big time. 11 points, 9 rebounds. I thought he was good on defense. But I thought Hoiberg was good yesterday, better than he's been in terms of managing the game. And I don't overlook that. That was a good loss. That was a good bad loss for Penn State.
Yeah.
Good win for Nebraska. But it also continues a trend of at some point this is going to change. Is I think a lot of teams overlook Nebraska.
Yeah,
they think it's going to be an easy win, and they mess around FAFO, and either it comes back to bite you like it did yesterday for Penn State, or you're good enough like Illinois the previous game to put on a spurt and you end up winning by 16 when you played awful.
Well, and I kind of look at how Penn State was shooting. I mean, Seth Lundy, who was outstanding. And Penn State, I mean, that's a dangerous shooting team. And we've seen that. That's how they've had success throughout the season. But, you know, going back to your point on the rotation, was Nebraska 15 at one point? And you saw that game getting all too familiar, though, where Nebraska's kind of struggling to get a bucket, and then all of a sudden Penn State starts chipping away. They're knocking some threes, and all of a sudden, before you know it, hey, that's a 5-point game, 4-point game. You're thinking, all right, well, this is fun while it lasted. And it's unfortunately kind of embedded in our mind when we watch this team. But with what they're limited with and being able to kind of utilize that, and I'm glad you brought up Sam Hoiberg, because he's a guy that I would 100% agree with. He's not going to make spectacular plays. You know, when he was knocking down some threes against Maryland, yeah, that was fun to see. But as far as impacting the game, he's not going to make it to where it's a dramatic turn in favor of Nebraska because he's on the floor, but he's not a liability. And that's what you're left with right now. You know, without having Gary and Bandemil out there, you're left with guys that you can put in that you can rely on. And as you've seen his minutes go up, he's a guy that can give some spells. We saw Tomanaga getting worked on there at the end. You know, a lot of different guys that if you look at what you can get out of them, even if it's in a short spurt, just don't be a liability. And so anybody that is going to show you that they just don't have it in this game or this matchup isn't favorable to them, that I do appreciate Fred doing that. Because if you look at the last couple of years of Fred, maybe to a fault, we've talked about sometimes his loyalties have been in other areas. I will forever bring up, because I get it, he was considered to be one of the better defenders, but as far as his three-point shooting, it was so subpar in Ladman. I always felt like he got way more minutes than he probably should have in certain situations, but everyone else seemed to sort of be subject to be getting the early hook or being taken out. Ladman didn't always get that. I didn't understand. But yesterday, I don't know if it's because he just was limited with what he could do, but yeah, I think the way that they were able to sort of manage any type of push from Penn State, that was significant, because
Penn State didn't respect Nebraska yesterday. That's the bottom line. Nebraska jumped them. And
I think a lot of teams kind of look at that. I'm sure that the message from Shrewsbury at the halftime was, don't worry, we're gonna get right back in this thing. I mean, they're limited. They have very few people that they can go to. We'll try to get into Walker a little bit too. And it didn't happen. And good on Nebraska, bad on Penn State. But I do think that there are going to be similar approaches with teams when they play Nebraska, not just because of where they currently stand, but because of the roster that they currently have right now. But again, if you look at the standings right there, we've been talking about this for over a month now. If you could avoid Wednesday, that win right there puts them smack dab, as you said, right there in the mix of if they can get another one or two.
No, don't go there.
No, I'm just saying, if you could avoid Wednesday.
You just need two wins to avoid losing 20.
Sure, that's great. But if you get another two, also you might be putting yourself in a position where we'll see how the tiebreakers work out. If you can just avoid Wednesday. I mean, it's sad to say, but that's a huge step in the right direction for this program under Fred Hoiberg. Regardless of what you think about him and the future of this program. You get that one win, and then you kind of look around you and see, other than Minnesota really, you look around and see who's all kind of jammed up there.
They have one must win on their schedule.
That'd be Minnesota.
And that's Minnesota. Minnesota is god awful. Minnesota makes people at Rutgers appreciate Eddie Jordan. Remember when Eddie Jordan was the head coach of Rutgers? They were brutal. That was what, 5-6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota, and again, they've been decimated by injuries, but they are getting clubbed. Where they have two straight games where they've lost by 30 or more. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nobody at the barn on Saturday night, as Maryland was basically, Maryland came out to warm up and they did the layup line and they just kept doing it for 40 minutes.
It's really sad what's become of that program.
They're on the three-man weave all day.
Well, there
they used to be good.
There you could say, well, they made a move with Richard Pitino and they hired Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. At Minnesota, he's still at least, because he's also got a recruiting class coming, you could say the process is over results. Can you say the same thing in year four of Fred?
Right.
The process over results. At some point during the whole discussion of Fred Hoiberg's tenure, results have to matter. Mm-hmm. It's a bottom line business. Results have to matter. Do they look different? Do they play hard? Yes. Do they have flaws on their roster the way it's constructed? Yes. Is there any guarantee that they're going to go and get one or two dogs that are going to be bucket getters in the offseason out of the portal? No.
Nope.
But in Minnesota, you can do process over results. You're still early. I don't know that you can do it here, but that's the only game on the schedule that is a must win. I don't know. I mean, Michigan is, they just beat Ohio State, which, you know, everybody's beating Ohio State right now. I don't know. My subtle thing is just get to 13 so you'll avoid having four straight years of 20 or more losses.
Yeah.
And I'm being sarcastic or trolling, whatever, but that's a tough sell to have four straight years where you've had 20 or more losses.
Right.
If you're saying, hey, you know what? I know you support us for a 3:00 game, a 3:30 game against Penn State on a Sunday. Man, how about supporting us next year? We got Creighton coming. Yeah. Creighton's going to play here. Right. We got the Big Ten schedule that's going to be here. Omaha might be coming back.
Yeah. I want to say it would have been the end of the, would have been the Sadler years. When you think of the Devaney Center there towards the end, I mean, seeing the crowds just so diminished, that's when you kind of knew. That's when, like, when you could only support for so long that you see visually, whoever the athletic director is at any moment, and you see that, like, that speaks volumes. We were talking about this the other day. You brought up some buddies going to Ashland and going and going to a bar and they didn't even have the game on because it's not top of mind. For sports bars, it's not even top of mind anymore. Creighton, yeah. Nebraska like that. Oh, are they? Oh, crap. I didn't know. Thanks. Yeah, we'll turn it on.
I wonder if anybody ran into that yesterday. Because there were, you know, a lot of stuff that time going on. You had golf at the Pebble Beach. You had the Clash of the Coliseum was going on.
You had the flag football game.
There probably was some women's basketball going on. It was a busy day for women's basketball yesterday from South Carolina, UConn to, I think I saw LSU and Arkansas playing. Louisville and North Carolina were playing. Yes, I watched a lot of sports yesterday.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, attending the Nebraska game.
I wonder if people ran into that they were, it's 3:30, I'm sitting at a bar, and I got to ask to have the Nebraska game. That's part of this whole, does the head coach make it matter?
Mm-hmm.
Has the head coach got a program to make it matter? That it's appointment viewing or appointment got to go to?
Yep. That's the key.
Yesterday probably didn't change that, but I thought yesterday was significant. I thought Hoiberg had a good day yesterday, and I'm glad he's starting to figure it out that when C.J. Wilcher is bad at the beginning, there's no way that C.J. Wilcher is going to be bad or good at the end of the game.
Right.
And he found that out yesterday. So, good on him. I think Fred yesterday managed the game a lot better. And they made some adjustments. In the big scheme, But for yesterday, that's good. And you never know. It's February.
Just keep your eye on the standings.
Just win two more games. All we're asking is when
you're two more games. You're saying two more games for a completely different reason I am too. Just put yourself in a position to avoid Wednesday.
I'd love to entertain you, Nick. They're not going any postseason.
That's not what I'm saying. I just don't want to see them playing on Wednesday. They can play on Thursday, lose, and they're done, and that's fine. Just not being a part of that sleepy Wednesday welcome to the Big Ten tournament feel. I'm just tired of it.
Yeah.
And they could literally have the same record as two teams playing on Wednesday. Just you win two more, and all of a sudden, hey, you could possibly avoid that. Because we know one team for sure is going to be there. After that, you don't know.
Yeah, I think I've burned my shirt. It said, don't play on Wednesday.
It's in memory lane with the Anyone But Texas shirt.
ABT.
Yes, yes. All right, 51 past the hour. Coming up the next hour, Tim Kruger has his latest bracket. Release it later today on stadium.com. After a weekend where KU gets blown out at Hilton, by the way, monster game in Lawrence tonight between Texas and KU, which, hello, healthy Christian Bishop.
Texas is good.
They won at Kansas State, but when Christian Bishop is healthy, and did he get another tattoo? Boy, he is. He is all
hard
inked
to tell.
Up.
Hard to tell.
I thought he got another tattoo. When he is healthy and they found a place for him, he might have gotten also a new life with Rodney Terry being the head coach after Baird got fired. Man, Christian Bishop looks a lot different watching him against K-State. That's a huge game tonight down at Allen Fieldhouse. But we'll see how KU losing affects Tim Kruger's latest bracket 5 weeks from Selection Sunday. Also, we'll talk to Jacob Bigelow. His thoughts on what happened yesterday. Look at this. We've gone almost a whole hour and I haven't even brought up Tominaga's performance yesterday. His 30 for 30 performance.
I was letting you...
We got a love-hate relationship. I give the man his due. Man, he's going to make a lot of money playing in Asia or in some EuroLeague, or he's going to make a ton of money playing three-on-three basketball.
Yeah.
Would it surprise you if Tominaga makes the Olympics in three-on-three?
For his absolutely home country. Not. Absolutely not.
Oh, no way. Yeah.
You know what? And I really think, like, yesterday was a prime example that his three-on-three activity, you can see helps him kind of in the back cuts and everything else that he did yesterday.
Yep.
And I have a love-hate relationship with him. And it was even during the course of a game in which he scored 30 yesterday. But I give the man his due. I mean, he was hot, and he also didn't sit. Fred didn't say, the alarm just went off. This is Tominaga's time to sit. Mm-hmm. He played the hot hand yesterday. So we will talk about his performance because is there part of what he did yesterday sustainable for the rest of the year, but for next year as well? All right, 53 past the hour. It's Mornings with Sharp and Hanley on 1620 The Zone.